Jesus and pray. Amen.
Amen. Right, so
Amos chapter 3, and I just want to focus on one verse there. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, which reads, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" And the title of my sermon today is Finding the Right Spouse. Finding the Right Spouse. Let's go to the Lord in the word of prayer before we get going. Father, I thank you for your word. Please just fill me now with your spirit. Help me to just preach boldly, clearly. Help people to take this message on board, to want to you know, apply it to their lives in the many different ways that all of us here can do that. Please just help me to preach accurately and boldly. Pray, amen. Right, we have a lot of singles in this church, and it's going to go without saying in pretty much every church, or it should do if it's a cross-section of society, because there are a lot of singles in the world, aren't there? There's a lot of people that aren't married, and we preach often about marriage and other things, but not necessarily to the singles and to being unmarried and how to basically find that perfect person, that right person, that person that God's going to want you to be with. So I wanted to preach a sermon on that today. If you turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, is being single a bad thing? Well, it's not, is it? And obviously it depends on you if you're able to be single, if you're able to be unmarried, but look, it's not a bad thing. And it's not that, oh, well, people are judging you or thinking things about you if you are, if you're not. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, of course, we went through this when we did our Corinthians study, but verse 7, Paul, who's unmarried. So Paul, who's unmarried and never does marry, is saying, "For I would that all men were even as I myself. But every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner, and another after that." So it's a gift to be able to stay single. It's a gift to be able to stay single. "I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I." So why is it good? Well, jump forward to verse 32. Jump forward to verse 32 where it says, "But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband." So, it's a good thing. It's rare that you're able to do it, but it is a good thing. But I would say only if you put that time and energy to good use, right? So there he's saying, the unmarried woman cares for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. He said earlier on in verse 32, "He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord." So, look, if you're single, you should have more time on your hands. Now, obviously, that doesn't necessarily work if you've got kids and other things like that. But for those of you that have never been married, have never had children or anything like that, being single, you should have a lot more time in your hands, okay? Because being married, you know, caring for your wife, looking after your children, and that goes for men and women, there's a lot of time spent on that. Now,
if you're single, you could put that time in for the Lord, you could put that time in for the things of God, not putting that time into just getting rich. You know, well, now I'm single, I can get as much money as I can. Well, nothing wrong with maybe saving for a future, for marriage, nothing wrong with that. But if it's just to get rich, then no. To spend more time on your hobby. No, I don't think that's what God wants you doing if you've got that time. And look, again, nothing wrong with having hobbies, but not if you're just going to spend all your free time on that. And obviously, it's not to be idle, is it? Okay, so if you're single out there, it's not, oh, great, well, right now I've just got a nice time in my life to do absolutely nothing. Because truly, you're probably just going to fall into sin anyway, aren't you?
Yeah,
so while I read my Bible, you know, I don't think it's enough. There he's talking about caring for the things of the Lord. And look, there is plenty of stuff you could do for God, okay? Yeah. Beyond reading your Bible. There's plenty of things you could do beyond just building knowledge and not actually doing anything with that knowledge, okay? Yeah. There's plenty of stuff you could do. There's plenty of stuff you could do around a church. If you have extra time, you want stuff to do, please come and see me. I'd happily give you jobs to do. There's always stuff to do at this church. But the vast majority don't have that gift, okay? That's the truth. The vast majority in the world don't have the gift of being able to stay single. Verse 9, if you go back to verse 9 there, he said, "But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn." Okay, it's better to marry than to burn with desire to be married. Okay, it's not saying that you're just walking around burning in lust all day, every day, because you've probably got a bit of an issue if you are. But it's talking about burning with that desire to be married. And this sermon is for those that can't contain and would like to get married. Okay, that's what this sermon is for. But it's also for the parents here that are married to think about how they're going to raise their children, who are all going to be single and are all going to, maybe the majority of them are going to be looking for a wife or looking for a husband at some point. It's also, though, for others in the church, for those who are like, right, well, I'm neither of those categories. Well, it's others to help support those that are seeking a spouse, okay? And to know what we expect in the church as well with those that are single and how to behave and everything else at the same time. Now, Amos 3:3, don't have to turn there, said, can two walk together except they be agreed? And marriage is a long walk, okay? Marriage is a long walk. And look, if you just put that analogy straight to going on a long walk, and I'm not talking about a long walk down to the shops. I'm talking about, say you went on one of these sort of sponsored hikes, you went on these, some people go on some long walks. Some people like will do from one end of, I mean, some people go a lot further than that, but even from the, you know, the furthest point of the UK to the other. And, you know, you could go on some long walks, couldn't you? Would you want to go on that long walk with someone that you're not going to get on with? Would you want to go on that long walk with someone who's not safe, for starters? I hope most people here probably wouldn't. Would you want to go on that long walk with someone that's just going to be contentious, that you're just going to row with? That'd be a pretty long walk, wouldn't it? That'd be a pretty unpleasant walk. And look, on that walk, it's not just, well, you just got to follow some signposts. In the walk of marriage, you've got some bigger decisions to make than that, haven't you? Okay, you've got big decisions to make. You've got decisions to follow, and you've got decisions to make. And look, it's not just, you know, just trusting the guy with the map. But women do have to do that, don't they? When it comes to marriage, women have to trust that man with the map. Yeah, they have to trust where they're going, not be constantly peering over their shoulder going, you're taking the wrong turn there. Yeah, we're not meant to go that way. Yeah, you need to be able to trust that guy with the map. But men as well. Men, you need to be able to trust that your wife's not just going to wander off in the middle of that walk. Yeah, you need to make sure that she's not just going to go on her own route and go, right, I'm done with your route. I've got a better route to go on. Yeah, I've got a better way to go. And you've got to make sure that she's not then going to be a burden in both ways with that. You want to make sure that you're not going to end up basically having to piggyback that person for half the walk. Eh? You want to make sure that you're going to be walking together at the same pace together. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 6. So how do you find someone that is going to go on that walk with you, but then also walk together? Not only be willing to go on the walk, but then be able to walk together with you. And the title of my sermon is Finding the Right Spouse. Yeah. And for two to walk together, which is what we're going for here from Amos 3:3, number one, they must be saved. Okay, and I'm preaching to a church here, okay? So if you're not saved, I would say first things first, get saved. Okay, get saved. And if you're unsure, if you're sitting here thinking, I don't know, 100% sure that if I died today, I'm going straight to heaven. I'm not sure if in the future I'm going to be going straight to heaven. It depends on what I do or anything else. You are not saved. You're not saved, and you need to get saved. Okay, because you could die tomorrow and you'll be going straight to the lowest depths of hell. Well, maybe not the lowest steps, but you will be going to hell. And hell is pretty low anyway. And look, regardless, you'll be going to hell if you do not put your faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, so look, if you're not saved, please talk to someone after the service and we'd be happy to show you how to get saved. But this sermon is to the saved. And the title is Find the Right Spouse. And number one, they must be saved. If you're saved, they must be saved. There's no, well, I'm not sure. Look, this is baseline. Okay, this is just the bare minimum for a future spouse. They must be saved. Okay, and I want to make that really clear. And you're like, oh, well, that's pretty obvious, isn't it? No, because a lot of people will start to look over this, and we'll see that in a minute. Look at 2 Corinthians, I've got you to turn to, chapter 6. Look at verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Okay, look at verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness? Yoked is joined, coupled. There's two animals pulling a plough, a yoke together. Okay? You wouldn't put a horse with a pony. Now, I'm not an expert on farming, but I think most people here, even if you've never even been to a farm, I doubt you would put on a yoke next to each other, maybe a big, strong horse and then some little weak pony. You wouldn't pair two animals together, would you, to pull that plough, to do that sort of work? And look, in marriage, you want that walk to be in the same direction, don't you? Okay, and if one of you is saved and the other one isn't, well, there's two things that are going to happen. One is that you're just going to not get on, it's going to be a disaster, it's going to end terribly. Or number two, one of you, and usually that's going to be the saved person, is going to end up getting pulled into the unsaved life. Yeah, okay, well, I might get them saved. Yeah, but you don't know that, do you? Okay, you would be absolutely mad to start off like that. Now, there are people that get saved, aren't there? There are people that get saved and their spouse is unsaved. And look, if they're happy to dwell with you, that you should stay, and you should obviously try to get them saved. Okay, that goes without saying. But I'm talking here to a church, I'm talking to here to singles here, and you don't want to be planning, you don't want to be aiming to get in a relationship with someone that's not saved. So that means you want to be completely 100% as much as you can be sure about their salvation. Doesn't that go without saying as well? You don't want to be sitting there questioning, wondering, oh, I'm not sure, you know, well they call themselves a Christian. Well they, you know, they have, like, they wear a cross, so they're probably a good person to start dating. No, you want to be 100% sure that they believe, you know, they believe, and when I say believe, that they're saved, yeah? Okay, that they're 100% saved, as much as you can know that for sure. And no, you shouldn't date someone that's not saved.
Yeah, it's good.
If you're saved, you're not planning to date someone and hope to get them saved. Get them saved, and by the way, this is baseline, we'll be talking about the other criteria in a minute. Get them saved long before you even contemplate any dating,
right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, the important thing is make sure they're saved. Because, look, you shouldn't even be seeing if they're dateable if they're unsaved.
Yeah.
Okay, kids, I hope you're listening up here. As you get older, you shouldn't even be contemplating dating if they're unsaved. Okay, look, once your mind starts going down that route, then suddenly you start, they seem to say, they once mentioned Jesus, yeah, but they were cursing. Oh, well, you know, they once, you know, said something about God. No, you need to make sure they're saved. What's the purpose of dating while we're on that? What's the purpose of dating? Christians here, we're not talking about the world. What is the purpose of dating?
Getting married.
Say again?
Getting married.
Getting married. Is there any other purpose for dating? It's getting married, isn't it? Why are you dating if you're not planning to marry?
Right.
Okay? The purpose of dating is marriage. Mm-hmm. So if you're dating someone that you've got no inclination to marry, you're nuts. Okay? And you're well out of God's will as well.
Yeah.
Okay? The purpose of dating is marriage. There's no other purpose. This isn't the world. This is a church of Bible-believing Christians, okay? The world, oh, well, we just date to have fun, have a bit of a have a physical relationship and see what happens. No. Does God want that? No, you're dating, the purpose is marriage. There's nothing cute or cool on that topic about kids dating. There is nothing cute, cool, fun, you know, and isn't it cool watching them? Oh, they seem to fancy that one. No, that's not cool at all, is it? Because what are they even doing? Why are kids dating? Why is our world pushing children to be dating? Because it's wicked. That's why. Because it's wicked. And look, until they're old enough to get married, or maybe a year off getting married, they have no business dating.
Yeah.
Okay, no business at all dating. There is nothing positive that can come from that at all.
Right.
Okay, and if you're sitting here going, I haven't heard a preach like this before, well, that's because you haven't heard a Bible preaching church before. Okay, this is what dating's about. You're trying to find a spouse. And the world, yeah, does go on multiple dates and have fun relationships. But I tell you what, yeah, when I look back at my worldly days and I look back at people who live like that, how much fun compared with how much heartache,
yeah.
So much heartache comes from it. So, and so many scars that they still can't erase. And so many repercussions that they can't change. Okay, look, but we just want to have a bit of a laugh together. Yeah, have a laugh together, don't date, yeah? Okay, how about have a laugh? How about have a laugh with other believers first?
Yeah.
Okay, but look, if they're not saved, then you have no business even contemplating dating them if you're a Bible-believing Christian here, if you're saved. Okay, verse 17 said, "Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." We don't learn how to behave from our twisted world, do we?
No.
Anyone here thinking, well, yeah, but the world's got some good ideas as well? No, we learn how to behave from the Word of God, don't we?
Amen.
Okay, he said, "Come out from among them and be ye separate." I don't care if your family and friends are going to go, what? You know, keep asking your kids, "Have you got a boyfriend, got a girlfriend?" You want to train your kids to be able to say, "No, I'm too young for that."
Yeah,
I'm too young for that. Why on earth would I have a boyfriend or girlfriend? I'm not old enough to marry. Right. Okay, and there should be nothing embarrassing about that. Verse 18 says, "And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." And by the way, if you've got family and friends that are constantly going to push that sort of, really, it becomes filth, really, isn't it? Because there's some people that are a little bit too preoccupied with that sort of thing, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Then you want to distance them from your family, okay? You don't want them around your kids. Now, turn over to Hebrews 10. The title's Finding the Right Spouse. For two to walk together, number one, they must be saved. And number two, they must be a churchgoer. They must be a churchgoer. And by the way, I'm preaching to a church of churchgoers here. Okay, that's who I'm preaching to here. If you're not, become a churchgoer. Okay, become a churchgoer. If you're planning to be serving God, you need your spouse to want to be on board too, don't you? Okay, your spouse needs to be on board. Hebrews 10:24 says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." A big part of a godly marriage is provoking each other to love and to good works. Yeah. Okay. Not just to provoke it. Sadly, a big part of marriage can be provoking each other as well. But it should be to love and to good works, shouldn't it? Okay, that's what a big part of marriage should be, is you should be encouraging each other. When one person's having that spiritual battle, the other should be propping them up and helping them, okay?
Yeah.
Sadly, many Christian marriages involve one spouse preventing the other from going to church. That's the truth the world over, isn't it? Okay, many Christian marriages do become that. But first things first, you want to make sure they're in church. And not just in church, but they're in church regularly as well. Verse 25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching." As the manner of some is. Look, you want to make sure your future spouse doesn't forsake the assembling. And look, again, if any of you sitting here already are married and had times and moments, look, I'm not preaching at that right now, okay? You're married. There's no change in that. And hopefully you'll be able to encourage each other to do this right. There are going to be hard times in marriage. But before you even get married, you want to be making sure this box is ticked, okay? Or you'll inevitably start forsaking the assembling. That's going to happen. Now, you could sit and go, "Well, I met them in church, so it's all good. I met them in church, so what could go wrong?" Well, before that person goes any further than a potential, possible future spouse, you want to see consistent church attendance. Yeah. Because there's a big difference between going to church now and again. There's a big difference between turning up and having a little spell and then disappearing for a while and coming back to regular, consistent church attendance. And believe me, the devil's going to be on you more when you're going to be responsible for your spouse as well coming to church, and then when it comes to your kids as well. Okay, you want to make sure you can deal with it when you're single and you don't have all those troubles, all those stresses as well. Yeah, okay, you want to make sure. So kids here again, look, and I know, like, we're kind of narrowing it down a bit. You might be sitting here going, "Well, there's not really many real churches in this country." Yeah, but okay, a couple of points here. Firstly, this country's not the only country with Christians in it. Okay, there are other countries, there are other people, there are other churches. Okay, we, you know, cross-cultural marriages can and do work, okay? So we don't have to get too hung up on that. This doesn't have to just turn into some big, you know, Cilla Black night down here every week and everyone's just trying to pair people up and everything else. There are other churches in the country, but, you know, we're going to talk about that in a second as well, like-minded faith. But, look, you know, we want to grow this church anyway and we want to have other churches. And, look, we want to grow things and we want to also link with other like-minded churches, don't we, as well? Okay, and there is a great date night called, I think, the Red Hot Preaching Conference, where, okay, I'm joking, does seem to be a bit like, no, but look, there are places, there are other people as well, but really, you don't want to be worrying about, look, all you want to be doing is doing what God wants, okay? And God wants you to, look, he wants you to not be unequally yoked, doesn't he, okay? He doesn't want you forsaking the assembly. If you're with someone that does, you're going to start forsaking the assembly, or you're going to have a big rift in your marriage. And look, with church, it's not just because it's a good dating ground to be here. And just bear that in mind as well, okay? There are people that do come to churches looking for spouses, and they appear to be everything right, and they appear, look, you don't want to be even contemplating marriage with someone unless you've got to know them for a long time, okay? And we're going to talk about that as well in a second. You want a spouse who's like David. You don't have to turn to who said in Psalm 27:4, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." That's the sort of spouse you want. Okay, that's the sort of spouse you want, someone that wants to be in church. If you want to be in church, you need someone that wants to be in church. If you don't want to be in church, then in a way, I'm not really preaching to you anyway. I would say, look, go and look at sermons on why you should be in church. Okay, because if you're not in church, you're out of God's will. And that leads me on to the next point. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3, finding the right spouse. For two to walk together, number one, they must be saved. Number two, they must be a churchgoer. And number three, they must be living for God. They must be living for God. If you're going to be one day joined together and become one flesh, that flesh needs to be holy, doesn't it? That flesh needs to be holy. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1 says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." So if you want that walk in marriage, here it says long life, peace, to be long and peaceful, you need to both be trying to live in God's will, don't you? You need both of you to be trying your best to live in God's will, to be living for God. Now, you might be sitting there going, well, you just said that point. You just said they must be a church guy. But does going to church equal being in God's will? Okay, let's explain this quickly. If you don't go to church, you're not in God's will. If you're not regularly in church, you are not in God's will. If you're a Christian, well, if you're not a Christian, you're not in God's will either. But you need to be regularly in church. But if you are going to church and you're saved, that doesn't mean, right, box ticked, I'm in God's will, does it? Okay, that's just that's number one. Number one is getting saved, number two is going to church, okay? But there's many more things you should be doing, aren't there, to be in God's will. Verse 1, he said, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." And there are many commandments of God that we should be trying our best, and our heart should be keeping. And obviously there as well, you can say your heart keeping the commandments is memorizing that word of God as well. But commandments like, you don't have to turn to 2 Thessalonians 3:10, which reads, "For even when we were with you this, we command you that if any would not work, neither should he eat." So ladies here, for example, should not be contemplating marriage with anyone that doesn't work. Okay, if you're a single and you're contemplating marriage with someone and they don't work, they don't have a job, you shouldn't be contemplating that. Okay, because they're out of God's will. Because God said that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Now on that topic, Verity Baptist Church has a singles chat with a view to dating. Okay, so they have this basically this chat site where you could join up as a single with a view to, it's moderated, it's not private chat, with a view to getting to know each other, and while you're getting to know each other, you know, maybe in the future you might date with a view to eventual marriage, because that's what dating's for. To be allowed on the site, because I get sent the emails about this, your pastor, or at least between your pastor and myself, so firstly, straight off the bat there, you have to be a churchgoer to even be involved. Not just, oh, well, I'm a Christian, well, I'm saved. No, you have to be a churchgoer. And you have to. They have to answer some questions about you, not just, are you a churchgoer, okay? The next question is, if they are a male, do you believe they have a job that would support a family? Okay? Amen. First one, if they are male, do they have a job that would support a family? Because if they don't, then they're not allowed on a dating site. Because why are they contemplating marriage if they don't work? And again, you might be sitting there going, oh, yeah, but what if they're really nice? Well, then hopefully they'll get a job, okay? then they're able to start dating, yeah? And look, I'm going to go out on a bit of a limb here as well. If they're a student Okay, if they're a student and they don't have a job, unless it's literally, it's like 100% that you're going to go straight from that job into the workplace, then you're not in a position to be dating. Because if you fail, yeah, if you fail, you're not in a position to support someone. So why are you dating? Why are you dating? Look, there, they won't let you date. They won't even let you chat.
Yeah.
Not only date, they won't let you chat with a view to dating. So why on earth have we got kids around the world, Christian kids, who are, you know, 16, 17, 18, whatever it is, without a job, dating? Well, how can a lady look at that and go, yeah, I think that guy's going to be able to provide for me and my family for the rest of their life? Yeah, you want to make sure that they're at work and they're able to work and they've got a consistent track record of working. Otherwise, they're just not in a position yet to be dating. Because if they're not in a position yet to marry either, why are they dating? Because if they're a student, if they're at school, college, university, whatever, well, they're not able to marry yet, are they? Because they're not able to provide for their wife. Because what are they marrying for? To then send their wife to work? I hope that makes sense, yeah? Okay. But it's the same for women being hard workers as well, isn't it? So it's not, oh, well, it's just the men. And I'm not talking about going out to jobs, but if you're a lady and you're hoping to date, but your days consist of putting your feet up and watching soap operas, or your days consist of sitting at home doing nothing, then what sort of a future wife are you advertising yourself to be? Because really, you should be busy. And look, I know we've got a cross-section of people. We've got people that have kids, they're going to be busy with kids that are maybe single. We've got people that maybe don't. We've got youngsters and stuff as well, but they should be working hard at home, shouldn't they? Okay, they should be working hard in the family, and they should be showing that they're also a hard worker. And that's a criteria, isn't it, as well? You know, Verity Baptist Church also check if you're a troublemaker at church. One of the questions, is this person a troublemaker? I don't have to turn to Hebrews 13:17 says to obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Okay, talking about the leadership of the church. If a young lady, for example, can't submit to the authority of her parents or to the authority of a church, what makes you think she's going to submit to you? Yeah. So, look, this church could be a great place to see, is that someone who's going to actually submit? Is that someone that's actually going to submit in marriage? Because if they can't submit to the church, they can't, no, because they're going to love me. Look, believe me, if they can't submit, they ain't going to submit, okay? In the future, it's going to become a problem. Yeah. So you want to see that, and if they can't submit to the authority of the church, well, that's even going to church in the first place, let alone submit to the authority of a church, then you've got no business marrying them. But in the same way, same with a man as well. They can't submit to the church. They can't submit to an employer. Who's to say that they're not going to get sacked further down the line?
Exactly.
So these are all like, and by the way, I'm going to show you in a minute, this is in an order that I'm giving you this, which is like ultimate, like these things are more important than do they have nice eyes? Do I fancy them or whatever else, okay?
Yes.
That's got, that comes further, okay? First things first, you better tick off these things on the list, Amen. Yeah? Are they living for God? And that includes, by the way, that's not just, oh, well, they go soul winning. Well, they read their Bible. Yeah, but yeah, they do need to be reading their Bible. If that man can't even read, hasn't even read the Bible through, why on earth are you even contemplating them for a husband? If they have never read the Bible through cover to cover, how on earth are they going to spiritually lead you for the rest of your life?
No way.
Yeah? How are they going to do it? How can you be sure they're going to? Look, and if they haven't, I'm not down on new Christians here or people that maybe aren't new Christians, that just maybe, you know, they're only now starting to get right with God. Well, wait till they've been right with God for a while before you start contemplating marriage. And that means don't date. Okay, why are you dating? Why are you dating someone that can't show you that they'll be a good husband? Because that's what dating's for, isn't it? Why are you dating someone that can't show you that they're going to be a good wife? But if a young man can't turn up to church on time, and I'm not having a go at anyone that's turned up late, say, by the way. Poor old Brother Junior here, he's home. Okay, but if he can't, yeah, say they can't. Say, and look, things happen, and I know people that rely on trains, things happen as well, and look, the odd like one-off and everything else is different, okay? But if you're regularly, you can't turn up to church on time, you can't be respectful when you're at church, and I'm talking to men and women here, Like I said, what's to say that their employer is going to put up with them in the long term? What's to say that they're going to be able to be employed? What's to say that they're going to be able to provide for you in the long term? Mm-hmm. Well, look, they need to be in the will of God. And in the will of God covers many more things than going to church and soul winning. Okay?
Amen.
Oh, but he's recently saved. He just hasn't got plugged into a church yet. Okay, well, wait till he's plugged into a church. Okay, there's no rush, is there? Look, marriage is for life. Okay, not just for Christmas. Okay, marriage is for life. You want to make sure that you're making the right decision, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay, because once you're married, there is no other option.
Yeah.
Okay, just make it clear, there is no other option. So if you're sitting here going, oh, well, my spouse isn't ticking all these boxes, tough. Okay, tough, make it work. Yeah, make it work. Okay, but marriage is for life. Verse 3 said, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Okay, that's going to rub off on your spouse as well, by the way. Okay, so if you want to have good understanding, you know, you want to have good favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man, then also you want to hope that your spouse has that as well, don't you? Okay. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths.
Amen.
Well, a great couple of verses there in the Bible. In fact, well, the Bible's great, but these are famous verses, aren't they? Yeah. Verses which many people have on their heart. And by the way, that's a great motto for those of you there that think, well, there's just no one out there for me. Well, I just don't know if I'm going to. So those of you that want to, look, and again, I'm not sitting here going, right, anyone who ticks the singles box must be this. But look, there are people there that maybe do have the gift. There are people there that maybe go, right now is not a good time for me. Okay, and we're not sitting here like the world just going, if you're single, it must be because you just can't get it. No, there are reasons. And look, I hope people are fussy as well. Okay, people should be fussy. They should be patient. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths.
Amen.
Look, you need to be patient as well. But while you're being patient, what should you be doing? You should be trusting the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways, you should be acknowledging him.
Amen.
Okay, if you're living for God, then basically you've got a better chance of finding someone who's living for God as well. Okay, and find someone that God wants you to be with. Be not wise in thine own eyes.
Yeah.
Fear the Lord and depart from evil.
Amen.
And let's face it, if our wisdom isn't from the Bible, where's it from? The world.
Yeah.
Okay, if it's not from the Bible, it's from the world. And anyone think that the world is wise?
No.
No, because the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, isn't it? And the more you learn, the more you grow as a Christian, the more you read your Bible, the more you realize how foolish our world is. The world which says, well, if they look good, the rest is a bonus. That's basically what the world says, doesn't it? What a catch, because, you know, you got the trophy wife. Yeah, but she's just an absolute nightmare. Oh, but she looks good. You know, great. You know, and, oh, I'm so jealous. Yeah, no, because the world, it's foolishness, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's absolutely ridiculous. The world which says, get physical first and then contemplate maybe marriage later. Yeah, if you're that way, if you're a bit of a traditionalist type, you know, and you might actually get married at some point and not just call them, you know, your partner or something else. That is absolute foolishness, isn't it?
Yeah.
Getting physical first, okay, fornication is foolishness.
Yeah.
It's absolute foolishness. And again, how many people will have lifelong scars from fornication?
Yeah.
Lifelong scars, lifelong issues, lifelong repercussions from fornication. Fear the Lord and depart from evil, because as soon as you're fornicating, and by the way, that's having a physical relationship outside of marriage, because we use the King James Bible here. We don't let some modern wicked perversion of the Bible change what that even means. That means having a physical relationship outside of marriage. You are definitely not living for God. You are definitely out of the will of God, and you definitely do not tick this box now. Okay, that means he's not directing your paths. And look, when it comes to choosing a spouse, when it comes to getting married, you need God. You need God to direct your paths with that, okay? Because, look, without God, it's going to go wrong. Okay, without God, it's going to go wrong. Turn to 1 Corinthians 6. Because fornication might not be a big deal to the world, but it is to God. It is a massive deal to God. Okay, and I hope everyone understands that. It is a big deal. Our world might make out like we're weird because we don't think fornication is a big deal. It's a big deal. It's a massive deal. And that's why 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18 reads, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Flee means run the other way. Run. Flee. Get as far away as possible. Okay? As far away from any chance of fornication as possible. Because you're sinning against your own body as well.
Yeah.
Okay? That is a, it's a severe sin. Because why? Because you're dishonoring the temple of God. Okay? It's basically like going into to God's holy temple in the Old Testament and just doing all sorts of wickedness in there. It's like fornicating in the temple of God. Okay? It is absolutely wicked. And when you're fornicating with a Christian, it's like a double offence, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay? It's even worse. I'm not saying, oh, well, as long as you fornicate then with an... No, look, fornication is wicked. Okay? It's wicked. The Bible says it's wicked. And look, many people here, like, oh, well, you know, back in my past, look, hopefully you moved on from that, you're saved, you would never even contemplate it again. But how do you flee it? How do you flee it? Get as far away as possible. You never put yourself in a position where it would be possible. You never put yourself in a position where it could even be possible. Because if you're dating, what's your goal? What's your goal if you're dating?
Marriage.
Okay, possible marriage at least, isn't it? Okay, your goal is marriage. Is this person ready to... Is this person what I want and what God wants for me as a husband or wife? So that means you're going to have plenty of time alone in the future, okay? If you get married, you're going to have plenty of time alone until you have kids. Then you're going to have no time alone. But... Until then, you're going to have plenty of time alone together, okay? And look, until that point, you shouldn't be alone with the opposite sex, okay? And I'm going to make this clear here, because first thing I want to talk about here anyway, just to get this off my chest, because I haven't kind of made this clear, and this is part of my fault here, because we basically inherited at this church what we did at UK Soul Winning, okay? And we weren't a church, we didn't have any authority as a church, and we basically just said, well, obviously no married people with the opposite sex other than their husband or wife when they were soul winning,
right.
Okay? But at this church, we're a church now, and we want to do things right in a church, and that means no opposite sex to go soul winning together. Okay, that's the rules in the church. They're not to be alone soul winning together. And again, look, I'm making it clear now, so I'm not having to go at anyone that wasn't aware of this, but that is one of our rules in the church. And that'll continue to be a rule in the church. I don't care how much the world changes things and starts even, you know, renewing what even is a man or woman. Well, we're not fussed, because we sit on the word of God here. And the word of God, you know, is clear. You should be fleeing fornication. That means you don't even want to be in a position where there could be a temptation for it. Okay? And look, with that, you know, I think, well, I'm going soul winning, so how on earth... Look, the problem is with that is that your motivation should be going out and getting people saved, yeah? So it's not date night, okay? Do date night another time, okay? Soul winning is soul winning, okay? And on that as well, look, there can be temptation to get... It might not be that, but it might be just things just start to get a little bit too personal. Because, like I said, your goal is marriage. You don't want to be rushing along anything else until all these boxes are clearly ticked with a nice strong bit of black ink. Yeah. Okay. Not a little bit faded. Not with a pencil that you can rub out. Oh, I ticked it, but I'm not sure. You want to make sure these boxes are ticked before you even contemplate moving further on to going further in the dating game. Yeah. And I appreciate that when it comes to some of this, look, it's not going to be right. Well, I'm going to know straight away that they're living for God. I'm going to know. Look, because some people, like I say, will con you. Okay. Some people will con you. Some people will come into a church. Some people, look, as we know, and I'm not going to go on about it, but as we know, there will be people that will con a whole church for years. Okay, so look, you want to make sure you're not marrying someone like that, yeah? You want to make sure that when you're dating, that as far as possible, before you even get to that point where you're contemplating now marriage, that look, that with that person, you want to be like, obviously your goal is marriage, but you want to be making sure that they're saved, that they're a regular churchgoer, that they want to live for God, okay? And that's going to take some time, and you don't want to be rushing things along before that, and we'll talk about that in a second. Okay, so that means, yeah, you shouldn't be alone. That means, look, when you're dating, it should be not only in a public place, but let's be honest, there should really be chaperoning as well. And look, I can't force... Okay, this is what I think I think you should be doing. Okay, and this is my opinion, and based on other pastors' opinions, and based on reading the Word of God, and based on the risks and everything else. And we're going to talk about just a few of those. I won't go into the stories too deep, but look, that's what I think. Now, what you do outside of the church, in a way, is up to you. But as you know, if anyone is fornicating, they're kicked out of the church. Yeah. Okay. There's no. We'll let them off this time. No, you're out of the church. Okay, you're out of the church. And until we decide that you've basically clearly shown that you would, you know, that you know you're wrong, that you would never do that again, and there's going to be a bit of time for us to be convinced of that, you're out of the church. Okay, and a lot of the time when people are kicked out of the church, they don't come back to a church, do they? Okay, and you don't want to be in that situation, do you? Because you need to be in church. Okay, so just to make it clear. But in terms of, look, not only not being together, not the chaperoning, etc. Look, our pastor teaches, and I agree with this, he says until you're married, no touching. Now, I've kind of, and when I say no touching, he'll say no hand-holding. No hand-holding, none of that. Oh, what sort of, you know, what sort of weird, uptight, old-fashioned. Look, he calls it, and I agree with him, he calls it the gateway drug. He calls it the gateway drug. Now, some of you might be sitting here, well, we manage to, yeah, but many people don't. Because many people manage to smoke a cigarette when they were younger and didn't become chain smokers. Many people manage to smoke and not get onto the drinking and the drugs. Some people manage, look, but a lot of people don't. Yeah, and a lot of people, it's a slippery slope. And look, when you start going to that level, then suddenly it's gone beyond the dating now, isn't it? Now, look, there's now becoming more vested emotional interest in that as well, which then suddenly those boxes that weren't ticked very strong start to become a bit less important, because now you're gripped with the lust as well. And I'm not saying, right, oh, I'm going to, you know, you touch a lady, that's it. Look, obviously you can shake hands and things like that. I'm not talking about that. But look, there should be distance between you. Look, you're dating, you're looking for marriage. You're not looking to get into some lustful relationship that then starts to become the top criteria for you marrying them. Because you're going to have a lifetime of misery. That's, look, you want to be sensible when it comes to it. So, look, in this church, though, that's what we expect, okay? In this church, that's what we expect. Yeah, and, okay, as parents here, I'd hope that people would want to enforce that as well amongst the kids. I understand as adults here, you don't have those safe parents trying to enforce that sort of thing and chaperoning you and everything else. But you need to be responsible adults, okay? And also because you're being looked at by other people in church, especially by kids as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so we want you to behave in the right way. Now, look, just remember, marriage is for life. Okay, please just remember that. Marriage is for life. The world says you can divorce, you can do what you like. Marriage is for life. So if your dating encourages lust, then you're more likely to make a bad decision. Okay, you're more likely to make a bad decision.
Amen.
And that bad decision is going to affect your whole life. Okay, turn to 1 Thessalonians 4. And the Bible gives us many examples, by the way, of things going wrong because of people not being wise about this sort of thing. Now, we're not going to turn there, but for those of you that do know your Bibles, you'll know these stories. What about Joseph shouldn't have been in a house alone with Potiphar's wife, should he? Okay? Joseph, look, Joseph was a great upstanding guy, but I would say that was an error. As soon as everyone else was out of the house, he should have got out of the house as well. Because what happened, basically, this guy's wife then accused him because she tried to come on to him. He rejected her and then she accused him of doing the same. He ends up in prison. Okay? Tamar shouldn't have been in a room alone with her half-brother Amnon, should she? Again, if you don't know the story, read about these stories. Okay, Tamar, this is under the reign of King David. Okay, Tamar is invited into the room. As soon as everyone left, she should have left as well, shouldn't she? Because again, she ended up getting, basically she got raped, she got forced, okay? Absolutely horrendous story that is. What about Dinah? Shouldn't have been unchaperoned around Shechem the Hivite, should she? Okay, she shouldn't have, if you remember, the daughter of Jacob. She goes out to see the daughters of the land, yeah? Ends up, she's clearly not chaperoned. She's gone out on her own. She's hanging around with worldly whores, basically. And she ends up in, you know, basically with this guy Shechem, who ends up getting killed, and the whole thing's just another just tragedy. Again, why? Because she's out unchaperoned, isn't she? She's out unchaperoned, she ends up on her own with this guy. Okay, and they're just off the top of my head, a few stories in the Bible, which make it clear that we should give this thing a lot of respect, okay? We're not some wicked worldly church where we're just, everyone, Johnny, where a lot of the time it comes down to some sort of pervert in the church anyway that just wants all this, just everyone together and all the stuff that goes on in all these wicked liberal churches everywhere. We don't want that here, do we?
No.
Oh, you funny duddy, I don't care. Yeah, I don't care. I want our church to be clean. I want it to appear to be holy. I want it to be holy. Yeah. But I want to at least see appear it. I want people to be trying their utmost to be holy. Yeah. Okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, always begging you, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. By the way, concupiscence is sexual lust. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Right, if you've got a problem with this kind of preaching, then it's God that you're hating, not me.
Amen.
Yeah? He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. God said to flee fornication. He said flee it. He said get as far away as possible. That means don't put yourself in any position where it might even be an option further down the line. That's the whole point in the no touching bit, is it? Oh, well, what, we're going to suddenly, you know, get into a physical relationship? No, you might not suddenly, but you might do further down the line. You might, or you might end up marrying because that's all that's on your mind now. Yeah, look. Look, these criteria are so much more important than the physical part. Seriously, they are. These have to be ticked first. The other bit is important, but these have to be ticked first. Otherwise, you've got no business getting married. And you've got no business dating and having some sort of dating life, which is more like a married life. God said to flee fornication. You have to turn it just over the page in chapter 5, verse 22. He said to abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And look, if you're single, yeah, and someone shows an interest in you and it goes straight down this sexual lust route, then you're well out of God's will, okay? You've got it all wrong. You're going about it all wrong. Because, look, I honestly believe that the most sensible thing, and I know their example, you could go to scripture, go, oh, well, they literally got married straight away, yeah? And by the way, I would say they probably didn't have anywhere near the effect and influence that the world has on us now. And getting married, I think you have more harder pressures. I might be wrong there, but regardless, I do believe that you should go through a long period of time dating, okay? Getting to know someone. First, you should be getting to know them. Then if you're dating, you should be getting to know them through dating before you even starting to plan and plot marriages. I mean, I've heard advice about a year. You go through basically four seasons, theoretically, you know, at least, that you get to, because then you really get to know someone. Because a lot of people, look, in that honeymoon period of getting to know someone, it's like they walk on water at the beginning. But that soon changes, okay? And you don't want that changing once you're married, okay? And then you're like, actually, that is not the person I thought they were, okay? Get to know someone first. Turn to Proverbs chapter 5, finding the right spouse. For two to walk together, number one, they must be saved. Number two, they must be a churchgoer. Number three, they must be living for God. And number four, they must be someone you're attracted to. Okay, they must be someone you're attracted to. Yep, that's right. But I'm not just talking about how they look. Okay, I'm not talking about just how they look. It's a whole package, yeah? Because yeah. Personality can ruin good looks, yeah. Can't it? Okay, personality can ruin good looks. Proverbs 11:22, we saw last week, it says, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. Do you want to share a bedroom with a pig? Do you want to share a bedroom with a pig? Because they have a pretty jewel in their nose. Yeah? Oh, well, it's all right, because they've got a pretty jewel in their nose. So, look, and by the way, that jewel is going to lose its sparkle with time as well. Okay, if you look at it from that point of view, that jewel's going to lose its sparkle, and then that pig's going to have nothing good about him. Okay, look, Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 18 says, "Let thy fountain be blessed." Proverbs 5:18, "Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as a loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love." Now, as beauty is in the eye of the beholder, so is someone's personality, by the way. Okay, so is someone's sense of humor, for example. So is the way someone just says things, does things, etc. Okay, and look, when I'm talking about beauty here, I ain't fussed what Hollywood says is beautiful. I'm not fussed what the media says is beautiful. I'm not fussed how much Botox is apparently beautiful. I'm not fussed how much airbrushing makes someone beautiful, yeah? I'm talking about the whole package. And you want to be attracted to them. You want to be attracted to the whole of them, though. That means attracted to their personality, attracted to them. Because you'll know, those of you that have been single at times, the more you get to know someone, it can go one or two ways, can't it? Sometimes you get to know someone and you start to become attracted to someone, and sometimes you get to know someone and you start to become a lot less attracted to someone, okay? And getting to know someone is important. So if you're single and you're just looking around, whether it be at a church or you go to the Red Hot Preach Conference or whatever it is, you go, "Well, that one looks good," or "That look," you got it all wrong, okay? You want to be ticking these first three boxes first, okay? These first three boxes are must. Then after that, this is important, yeah? But this isn't important if the rest of it isn't ticked. Does that make sense, yeah? If you're going to rejoice, like it says here, with the wife of your youth, then you need to get on too, don't you? You need to get on with the wife of your youth if you're going to rejoice with them. Ravished here is delighted to ecstasy. So it's no good ticking all the other boxes and then putting up with someone that you don't like either. So it's like, "Oh, well, I ticked all those boxes. Oh, well, they live for God. Come on, let's get married." Yeah. "Well, they, you know, they're saved and they go to church. So that's a, you know, he's a good Christian." "Well, why are you getting married? He's a good Christian. You know, I can't stand how he looks, but he's a good Christian, you know." Or, "She's a good housewife." "Well, she's a good housewife. Yeah, you know, she's absolutely rotten to the core, but she's a good housewife." Look, that's not what it's about, is it? And look, I put this bit last for a reason. Because if they're not saved, it doesn't matter how much you like their smile. Okay? It doesn't matter. If they're not in church, their addictive personality makes no difference. If you want to live for God, if you're a church-going, Bible-believing Christian, you want to live for God, it doesn't matter how great a personality they have. If they're not in church, they're not for you. If they're not living for God, their Hollywood looks are like a jewel in a pig's nose. Okay? If they're not living for God, their Hollywood looks don't matter. And this is the key, yeah? Because before you even risk getting attracted to someone, they have to tick the first three boxes. Does that make sense, yeah? Before you even risk it, look, you want to get that off your mind. If you're single and you're looking around a church, going, "Oh, that one, look, that's," get that off your mind, yeah? Get away from that bit and make sure they're ticking the other boxes first. Don't rush it. Because look, like I said earlier, once the fire is going in your bosom, once that fire starts going in your bosom for someone, those other boxes become less and less important. That's what will happen. Once that fire's burning for someone, once you get, it starts, you know, the lust is getting there, or whatever you want to call it, just the attraction, you already contemplate, you're already looking at them in that way, suddenly it's not quite so important. Suddenly you're finding reasons to excuse the other boxes.
Yeah,
that's what happens. That's what people do. "Well, he said that you can lose your salvation, but he didn't really mean it. I don't think he really meant it. He probably just was a bit confused at that point, you know. Oh, she can't boil an egg, but I prefer takeaway anyway. You know, I'd just have a life of takeaway, you know, lucky me." Yeah? "Oh, well they prefer home church, but that's probably more biblical anyway, really, isn't it? All this church stuff, you know. I mean, I'm sure there are some house churches." Yeah, that's okay. Look, you'll start making excuses. You'll start making excuses. You'll start just turning the other cheek to what should be serious disqualifiers. And like I said, with that as well, when you get physical, then suddenly those personality issues and those things where you don't really get on that well start to just get discarded as well. Because there's a lust, there's a burning. And then suddenly you're marrying just basically because you don't want to be burning, you don't want to be in fornication. Okay? This stuff's important. Because like I said, look, learning about someone takes time. Okay? If it's done properly, it takes time. And you don't want to be rushing into anything. You want to just be getting to know people, get to know them, chatting. Obviously, you need to be out there as well. So again, like on that, just something to add. If you're single and you want to, and again, just because you're single doesn't mean you want to get married, does it? Look, but if you want to, if you're like, look, I don't think I can get done, I want to be married, you kind of need to be talking and getting to know people. Get to know people, because you'd be surprised. People that, look, they're not like, you're not looking across the room and the hearts are going in your eyes and everything else, yeah? Look, you'd be surprised how someone can quickly become someone that you're attracted to when you actually get to know them, yeah? Okay, look, it's not about just, well, are they exactly that picture perfect, whatever my ideal woman or man, look, that stuff's just nonsense, yeah? Yeah, obviously, like I said, you want to be attracted to them, but to the whole lot, to the whole package, the personality, because I'll tell you what, the personality is there for life, the looks aren't, okay? The looks aren't, and I'm talking about men and women, okay? You want to make sure you get on, yeah? And also, because people are dishonest, yeah? People are dishonest. Let's face it, anyone here, if you could, and I don't want, you know, husbands and wives to be picturing themselves single, but if you did, go back to when you were single and you were trying to impress someone. Yeah, were you just like, just lay it all out bare? Just go, well, I'm bad at this. I only brush my teeth once a week. Is that really, you know, and I hope no one here is like that, but are you really coming out of that stuff? Or are you literally putting on the picture perfect image of yourself? Barring you might try and show yourself to be a little bit humble at times as well, you know, just something that's not going to affect it too much, you know? Oh yeah, well, you know, I'm not the best speller sometimes, yeah. Now he thinks I'm humble. Now she thinks it. People are craft, people have guile, yeah? People have guile, and when they're dating, it's no different, okay? So you want to make sure you get to know them, yeah? And again, if you're dating, you want to make sure you're being honest as well, yeah? Because again, you don't want them to get into a situation and look, with that as well, the longer you date, the more it becomes like a divorce when you do get rid of someone. Okay, so if you're already, you're dating, you're thinking, look, this isn't really going to work, just cut it off, yeah? Yeah? Yeah, do the nice thing and do it earlier, because the longer it goes on, the harder it is for people. Okay, and like the same thing with that, just be honest from early on, yeah? Because the longer it goes on, the longer, when the lies start coming out and they start seeing who you really are, look, it can be hard to break up, can't it? Okay, so look, you want to make sure, and we want to be honest, we're Christians, aren't we? We want to be trying our best to be honest. And look, otherwise, what's going to happen? You're going to end up in an unhappy marriage, or sadly, you're going to end up in a situation where people start contemplating divorce. And look, let's just make it clear, divorce isn't an option, okay? Divorce is not an option. If you're saved, divorce, and if you've been divorced, I'm not talking at you right now. And again, with any of this, yeah, if you're anything on this list, this isn't to hate on you or anything else. If you've been divorced, well, okay, now move on. But for those of you that have never been married, when you get married, okay, it's for life. There is no option. For those of you that have divorced, look, now let's just cover this quickly anyway while we're on it. You kind of have two options, really. You have stay single, okay, for the rest of your life until that person either dies or you do, okay, or you try and reconcile. Because, look, otherwise you're committing adultery when you remarry. And look, again, look, people that have done that, if you're on a second marriage or something else, again, I'm not hating on you. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says, okay? And if I had time, we'd go to the Scriptures. We'll maybe do that another day. And if you want to talk about that, you're welcome to. Okay, marriage is for life. It's a long walk together, isn't it? It's a long walk together. Make sure you're prepared for that walk, okay? Make sure that you're prepared for that walk. So find the right spouse. For two to walk together, number one, they must be saved. Number two, they must be a churchgoer. Number three, they must be living for God. Number four, they must be someone you're attracted to. Remember, Amos 3:3 said, can two walk together except they be agreed? Make sure that you agree on the important things first. Okay. On that, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you know, you give us so many principles in the Bible and so much truth there, and help us to see the importance of things that our world, you know, kind of just flip upside down and turn them onto their head. But, you know, your word doesn't change, and your standards don't change, and how you want us living, how you want us behaving doesn't change. Please help us to respect that. Help us to follow that. Help us all to just want to live for you. Help us to not hate the message or hate the messenger, and just appreciate that your word is what we care about. And we thank you for that. And I pray that, you know, that people here that want to find husbands and wives in the future will be able to find those, the right people, that you'll guide them, they'll do things the right way. And the rest of us here that are married, that, you know, we're not going to look at sermons like this and start trying to find fault in our husbands or wives, and just make our marriages work as well. Everyone here, you know, has to work at a marriage. Help us all to do that, because marriage can be a great thing. It'd be a wonderful thing. And just please help us to respect your word, respect your institutions in life, and help us also to have a good afternoon now after this service. Go out and get lots of people saved, and try and encourage them to want to live for you as well, and return back safely for this evening service. In Jesus' name, we pray all of this. Amen. Amen.